Coffee Park Conversations.
Good morning, good afternoon, well, hello anyway, to Coffee Pot Conversations hosted by an Englishman in Paris. My name's Paul. You may be able to tell I've got a little bit of a sexy voice going on today. That's because I've been suffering a little bit for the last 2-3 weeks with this throat. So just to bring you guys up to date, it's now February. It will be the 13th by the time that this episode's released. And about 2 weeks back, the mayor of Paris, Anne Hidalgo, got her way with the elections for the SUV, the big vehicles. So 54.55% approved to increase the parking tariffs for the SUVs, virtually tripling them up to €18, which is about £16 or $20 an hour. And that's for vehicles 1.6 ton or more. However, this doesn't apply to residents, nor electric cars, taxi drivers, tradespeople, health workers, or disabled drivers. So that's great. So out of the 1.3 million people available to vote, only 74,000 people voted. So that is a 5.7% turnaround. Now, we know I'm not into politics, so I'm not too worried about all that palaver. But let's just say, if you're living in the suburbs of Paris, don't take your SUV in unless you're prepared to get a mortgage on your property. Also, part of Anne's plan was back in April, we had a vote. I say we, I wasn't there. But I was there when they were handing out the leaflets. I wasn't able to vote because I'm not Parisian, nor do I live in Paris, nor does it really affect me. But 90% of people decided to vote against the use of hired electric scooters. So again, talking figures, that 90% of people that agreed was out of the 103,000 people who voted. And that's less than 8% of the Parisian population. So that was pretty much those Lime scooters that you used to be able to ding, which you can no longer ding. They were just being left all over the pavements, and it's not very helpful for pedestrians, people with buggies, wheelchairs, just people in general having to clamb all over them. Strange thing, 12-year-olds could hire them, which is a little bit dangerous if you ask me, and they weren't really bothered about the €35 fine for leaving them laying around, or €1,000 fine for not wearing the proper clothes or going against traffic. Anyway, just a quick little heads up, to use those back in the day when you were able to, the electric scooters, the hired electric scooters, €5 for 10 minutes, which works out to be about £4.50 in English money, and just under $5.50 for US people. In London, while we were able to use the hired ones before we could use our own personal ones, that worked out about £2.50 for the same length of time, which is around about sort of €2.50 or sort of $2.50, depending on how you look at things. And that was also for 10 minutes. But we can now still hire them and use our own ones, but that's in good old Blighty. Do I approve of electric scooters? Or electric bikes? That's going to be another episode. This episode is me talking to two beautiful people, part of French Abroad Paris, who are involved in the fashion industry. Now, you're going to hear it, and I did sort of also put it in the notes. I found out about Christian and French Abroad purely through Instagram with the slogans. And it was one of my first interviews. It was the first time I actually interviewed two people, and it was a little bit daunting, slightly intimidating, and we got through it, and it was a nice chat. I don't know too much about the fashion industry. I don't know too much about being an Instagram influencer. But anyway, this has been 5 minutes of waffle, so now let's get straight into having a quick little jingle. And then you can hear the episode where I talk to Christian and Anastasia all about their journeys with French Abroad. So here is episode 1.3.
Coffee Park Conversations.
Yeah, so I don't know how to begin these things. We'll start off with introductions.
Okay.
I'm Paul, Englishman in Paris.
Nice to meet you, Paul.
Same here, Coffee Park Conversations. And you are?
Christian. Bonjour, Christian.
So when I say French words, do you want me to try a French accent, or can I just say them?
Try French accent.
I can do the R, that's about as good as I get. The bonjour, it took me about 40 years to discover that at the end of bonjour.
It's not easy. So,
and no one tells you at school. And you are, young lady?
My name is Anastasia, and I'm interning for Christian at French Abroad here in Paris. Yay.
I like that. Again, as many times as you want to say who you are, where you're from, you carry on. So where are you from? What's your story?
Okay, so I'm from Cameroon in Africa. My father is from Cameroon and my mother is from France. And I've been living in Cameroon and in France at the same time. I was very young when I came in France. I was like 5 years. But I had the little souvenir of my childhood in Cameroon. And I spent all my life in France. So I have like two countries. Sometimes I'm like, I feel like I'm more French than Cameroonian because I spent all of my life in France. And yes.
Until the Africa Cup of Nations, in which case it's Cameroon. So with the football, the
soccer. Yes, exactly. We are very good.
So in a World Cup, with the football, who would you?
If Cameroon and France play together, I would be for France. Okay. Definitely.
And Saisy, who would you go for?
For France. I don't watch football, but for France.
What about the rugby?
Rugby? Yeah. I don't watch rugby that much. I used to watch hockey because I'm Russian, so it was very important for me to watch hockey, let's say. I'd never watched any ball game, let's say. Yeah. So, yeah.
What do you play with in hockey?
Sorry?
What do you use in hockey?
A puck. Is it a puck?
Ice hockey?
Yeah, ice hockey. Yeah,
Ice hockey, sorry. Oh, wow. I think you meant proper
hockey. I thought what we played with.
Oh, like no, yeah, because you've got the field hockey, which is the ball, but ice hockey.
Ice hockey. Yeah. Oh, wow.
And did you watch the rugby at all?
Not too much.
We got to the semi-finals with England. I thought, it's not going to work. We lost last time to South Africa. So, on your website, it says that you went to Canada.
Yes, exactly. So, yes, I went to Canada to improve my English because I was studying international business and I wanted to improve my English to get a better job in my field, international business. So, my first trip abroad was in the US, in Miami for an internship. But I went in a company, in a fashion company, and all the employees were from Latin country. They were speaking only Spanish, and I made a lot of French, so I didn't improve my English at all. And that's why I decided a few years later to go in Canada, in Toronto, to improve my English. And I chose to do a language stay for 2 months, and it was the best experience of my life. And that was the goal of my trip abroad. And thanks to that trip abroad, I met a lot of people from all over the country, all over the world, and I got the idea of creating my own fashion brand. Mm-hmm.
So if you hadn't have started, what would you have done? Joined some other company and
yes, exactly. Yeah. Yes, I always liked fashion, so I wanted to work in the fashion industry, in an international department to deal with foreign customers, and that was the plan. But one day at the school in the language day, we had an exercise to do. We had to talk about our dream. And I remember this time I didn't have a real dream for me, just to work in international business. And I was like, oh my God, what am I going to say? I don't know what to say. And I said, okay, I'm going to tell that I want to have my own fashion brand later. But just like that, for me, it was a real dream. And when I did the exercise with my friend in front of me, she was from China. And I remember how she looked at me. She was believing in me, and it was the first time when I feel like someone was believing in me. Really, I could see in her eyes that she was like, "Okay, you can do it. Just do it." And the same day, I was looking on YouTube and internet how to create a fashion brand. And I keep this idea in my mind until now.
Fabulous. that's the fact that someone is behind you.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the key, because you can have all the dreams and the beliefs in the world, but if there's no one going, do it.
Exactly.
And if it's a friend rather than a member of the family, it's, oh, you can sing very well. You see it on Pop Idol, Dancing with the Stars. Right. You can't.
Yes. And you know what? This is not the French culture to push someone to do something. we don't have it in France. So for me, it was very surprising that she told me, okay, we can do it, just do it. I was very surprised and I really like it. And I always say it's my friend, but you know what? She just stay in the school for 1 week. So I feel like she had to be there to meet me. And
yeah.
And sometimes, yes, I believe in destiny. And yes, so very great memories.
Are you still in touch?
Not really, because she just stayed 1 week. And I try to be in contact with her, but all my friends don't have a contact with her.
But now that you're on Instagram,
yeah,
and you're smashing out the social media, they may find you.
I hope one day, really.
We'll keep looking.
Just to say thank you, really, because she really changed my way of thinking, and she pushed me to do it. Yes. And that's why this experience was very amazing, because I was surrounding about with people from all over the world, and I remember when every time I was saying I'm from Paris, they were like, "Oh my God, you're lucky! Did you visit this?" And you know what? I live in suburb in France. I live in suburb, and Paris for me means working, have fun in Paris, and that's it. and when I was abroad, people were talking about the Paris, the culture of the Paris, everything they cannot imagine, because they dream about it. And I was like, everything is new to me. I mean, I have all that in France, but I don't pay attention to this. And I don't know why. I don't know why, because maybe I live in there. For me, it's normal. And when I came back for this trip, I was like, okay, I'm going to do everything that I never done in Paris. So I started to be like a tourist in Paris. And I became a Francophile thanks to this trip. It's crazy, but this is how it started. Yeah.
Got to start somewhere.
Exactly.
Okay, so what about your story?
So mine, I'll make it short, but what I share the same values as French abroad. I am Russian. I grew up in Geneva, Switzerland. So it means, and I was born in Miami, Florida. So that's little values there and there. Growing up in Geneva at 17 years old, when I graduated from high school, I wanted to go somewhere else and experience something else, because Switzerland, don't get me wrong, is very beautiful, but it is quite small, and I wanted to go somewhere else and try something new. So that's how we share the same values with Christian and the brand. I went to Berlin, I studied the fashion design bachelor, and I focused on textile design and avant-garde. So I had my own show, I had my collections and my projects. After that, I was due for an internship, and I wanted to fulfill my childhood dream to come to Paris. And what I wanted at that particular time is to work alongside a team or an owner in Paris in a small brand, so I could learn more what it is, the problems, the strengths, the weakness of a brand, and see what I am capable of doing. And that's how I discovered French Abroad. I applied. The next day I had a response from Christian, and I was still in Berlin. A week later I was in Paris, and we started strong. And that is my story, basically. Yeah.
Little secret.
Yeah.
If you hadn't have applied, I was going to put my name forward. I thought, you know what? I could work remotely. I could do it. I've got no fashion sense, but it's a business I can cope with.
Yeah.
Right, I've got a little list of questions. These are more specific for you, and then I've got some in my little notebook afterwards, which you can all join in with. We've done that one, Okay, the fabric, the materials, talk to me about that, because I know. I hadn't, when I wrote this, I didn't know that you were going off on holiday tomorrow.
I'm so excited about the fabrics, by the way. I'm just so excited to tell you.
So, yeah, tell me what's happening.
Yeah, so when I start the brand, when I imagined the brand, I really wanted to have something eco-friendly with organic cotton. Because, I mean, even though we don't pay attention most of the time of environment, I think we have to be focused on this because fashion industry is the second industry the most polluting. So I couldn't forget that. So I really wanted to reduce my impact, my pollution with this collection. And I chose to work with organic cotton, which is a cotton that uses 90% less water than a classic cotton. So all my fabric are made with organic cotton. And now with Anastasia, we're going to go in Portugal to make upcycling clothes, to go even forward reducing the pollution with our clothes.
Yeah, and as a fashion student, fashion design student, sorry. I wanted to say about upcycling, why it is very important for Christian and I. It is a method, for the people who do not know, where basically we use scraps or leftover fabric and they will unwind it and make new threads out of the scraps. And then those threads are going to be knitted into fabric. And it's going to still be organic cotton. It will be reusing dead stock. So we're producing garments out of it, and we're gonna still keep the soft touch and the high quality of our pieces. So that was like a big, big step when I started my internship here, and we're very, very happy with that.
So because of you, you're doing the upcycling?
I guess so. At the end of the day, it was a lot of work to find a good manufacturer, production. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Portugal is one of the first leading actually in whole Europe about a more sustainable and eco-friendly approach towards textile. And it took around two weeks here at the store where we were looking and looking and looking, and we found this perfect manufacturer. And I read through it, we looked into it with Christian, and that's why we are going for the upcycling, because it's very important to me as a fashion design student. That's what I learned, and that's one of my virtues and what I stand for and what I make as well. So I guess that's the addition.
But you'll be keeping the same slogans?
Yeah. Yes.
Everything is going to be the same.
Any new ideas coming up?
For the next collection?
Yeah.
I have a lot of ideas already. You know what? The brand is related to travel, so I'm planning to make new kind of project, bags and... for example, but yeah. Yes, of course, I have a lot of ideas. I still want to have a funny coat, and at the same time, I have a real brand. And that is why now, with the new collection, I put the French Abroad logo, because it's not only a brand with funny coat, it's also a real brand that represents the identity of the brand. And the identity of the brand is, okay, no matter where you come from, if you're Francophile, you're French Abroad. This is the meaning of my brand.
And I have noticed as well, I think it was today I saw on Instagram, is it Alex? Alex was wearing something, and you've got the two brothers as well, all wearing stuff. So, for me, it's like, I don't know you guys, but I feel part of the community, and watching other people help you guys.
Yes, they really helped me a lot, because when I started to communicate with my brand, I was like, okay, how am I going to communicate? I have a low budget, and I start to looking for influencer, but I didn't want to select only people with a lot of people. I want to select people who have the same value that me and who share the same value that me. And all the influencers I have worked with share the same value that me. And this is why they helped me a lot. And I really appreciate that. Yes.
And because, yeah, Alex isn't French, is he?
Yes, he's French.
Yes. Oh, he's French?
Yes. Alex for 80 Frenchies. Oh, Alex teach French.
Yeah, teach French.
Oh,
yeah.
No, he's not French. He's not French. He's a teacher.
And he's been a Francophile. Yeah, exactly. He's a French evolved. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Like spreading the market.
Yes.
I've mentioned you had a pop-up shop.
A pop-up shop. This is a pop-up shop, actually.
But in one of the... Galerie Lafayette.
I did a lot of pop-up store in Galerie Lafayette, but it's only for 1 or 2 weeks. But now we are working on being for a long term. It's going to be complicated because there's a lot of competition, a lot of brands. But I'm pretty sure my brand can be for a long time in Galerie Lafayette because 90% of the customer are foreigners, and the foreigners love my brand, so we're gonna work on it, and sooner or later we'll be in Galerie Lafayette, definitely. I know that.
By next year, watch us.
Yeah,
absolutely.
they already like the brand. They already accept my brand for a few weeks, and I think we will make it. Yeah.
So how do you approach them and say, I've got this, and they say yes?
Exactly. Yes, I approach them. I try to find the good contact, the good person, and sometimes it's not easy because as I told you, there is a big competition, but just keep pushing and sometimes they accept, and I'm pretty sure they will accept sooner or later.
The fact you've been in there, and how's it go elsewhere?
Mm-hmm.
You got any other places in mind?
I mean, we are trying to expand. We have tried to expand to BHV in Le Marais. We're just waiting to put up our presentation identity of the brand, as well as Le Bon Marché. When we talk with people and show the products, they're very keen on them. So it is one of the strategies that we're going to try to put forward by next year after Christmas. So yeah, we're very, very excited. We're trying to take over all the retail in Paris.
And with the new upcycling as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's something else you can tell them.
No. It's a exactly, big yeah. identity. Uh-huh. It's a huge identity. I'm very proud that we're taking on this lead.
And you've also got the Olympics coming up.
Yes. It's going to be crazy.
And the refurbishment of Gare du Nord as well. I noticed they're doing that. Been for a few years. New car park facilities out the side to stand out, hold a t-shirt. They'll come by. Oh, the last question was, who's in charge of running your social accounts?
Who is in charge of the social account?
Yeah.
I've been doing it by myself for a long time. I started the communication on social media on May 2022. And at this time, I contact a professional, a social manager, who helped me for 2 months. And then I did it by myself. Until another came last month, so now we do it together.
Yeah, we share the work. I think so. Oh. I mean, I'm having a lot of fun doing those edits because I'm not into videography, but it is quite interesting, and we totally share the work together. And I think it makes it even more interesting for our community that it comes from us, what we're trying to communicate. Oh. It's easy, simple, and fun. That's what we're striving for. So it is a pleasure to have people who enjoy and discover us through social media, because it shows that they actually enjoy
Absolutely.
What we put out.
It's working. And again, not outsourcing it, you've got more control. Mm-hmm. And again, it shows you as people.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly, yes.
And as I've said, for me, that's important.
Yes.
You can be a faceless brand, put all your social marketing out to companies, but it's not the same.
Yes.
It's not the same.
I really try to show the identity of my brand, to show why I'm doing that. To explain the why and not just put in project and go buy.
Yeah.
I'm not a businessman really. I'm really bad, I'm selling really. But I would like to bring something to people. You know, if I have created this brand because I really wanted to bring something to people. I really believe that, okay, if I make this brand, I'm pretty sure people are gonna like it and gonna wear it, because it can be useful when you go abroad, when you want to get memories, when you get to get stories. I really think about that before, I want to sell, and that's mm-hmm. it. So this is what I'm, in social media, I try to show the why before just putting product and go buy. This is not my way of thinking.
And I think it's a very beautiful value that I should add on what Christian said, is that when we have our time with the clients who come in, we even remember their faces. We take our time to get interested by their backgrounds and what they're doing in Paris. And that's what, as I wanted to say, like as a fun anecdote, Christian tells me, oh my God, we need to make this video to explain to them as if it's like a family around us. We are trying always to communicate, and I can see in Christian that he's always ready to answer any questions, if there's any problems. He worries a lot. It's not only about business and making money. It is about having this community at the end of the day. That's what we share. And I think that's how we outstand within all these brands who might be competitors. That's our value.
And to be honest, I can see through not your social media, but they'll say tag you, so you put it in your stories. They come in and you see their faces, they are overjoyed to be here. They put the little things in the map, yeah, really I see like that. And it's, but just watching people, and it's not the Instagrammers that do it, it's normal day-to-day people.
Mm-hmm.
They come, they find where you are, yeah, because mm-hmm. it's I said earlier, this is the first time I've been this side mm-hmm. of Sacré-Cœur. I wouldn't have thought of this. Feels lovely. It feels less touristy.
Mm.
You've come here for a purpose, but you don't get the walking trade. And that's, mm-hmm. for you guys, that's a shame. But the fact people are coming here mm-hmm. and buying it and wanting to meet you shows you're doing something right.
No, I mean,
last time we had a very funny story. We were unstocking or like cleaning up a bit the boutique, and there's like these three girls, and she screams, "Oh my God, this is the boutique!" I turned around, I'm like, "What the hell is going on?" She's like, "I know you," to Christian. She's like, "We know you from social media," because we're trying to incorporate new strategies of like, I don't know, make it more fun, and people actually recognize Christian, of course, and the boutique and the brands. And yes, shamefully that the street is not so walkable. It is not a touristic destination, although it's very pretty here, you know. But that's an issue that we will resolve by next year as well. So yeah.
Absolutely. So do you think they notice you more from the social media or from the website? Because I notice you're a bit of a model on the website as well.
You know what? Because when I started the brand, I did one photo shoot, and at this time I didn't know a lot of people, and I didn't have a lot of money. So I'm doing also modeling in my real life, just for pleasure. and I said, okay, I'm gonna do it. I had my friend also. All the models on my website are my friend. So I met them when I did some photo shoot, and they helped me when we did the first photo shoot for the brand. But now we did a second one a few weeks ago, and yes, so you won't see me anymore in the website.
We're very excited though. I mean, it is amazing pictures of our friends again. Mm-hmm. It's just an amazing team to work with. I don't know, and we're so excited to get those pictures.
Yeah,
it's gonna be a little update, but I think it will stick to our identity, so mm-hmm. it's gonna be a surprise for all of you guys.
You should do a photo bomb every so often, just stick your head up. Excellent. Right, that's my proper questions out of the way.
Okay.
Is there, before we carry on, anything that you want to discuss, you want to talk about?
Mm-hmm. No, I just wanted to say that I'm very happy to have Anastasia with me.
Oh, that's nice.
No, really, because she's very good, she's very focused, and she's working like it's her own brand, and I really appreciate that. And what else? I'm so happy to have my community on social media, because you guys support me a lot, even you, Paul. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I feel like it's a community. I don't feel like you are a customer. I feel like you're a community, and I always try to help when I can. When they text me on Instagram, I answer quickly, because I need to help them, because the brand exists thanks to you guys. So if there is no community, there is no brand. So I'm very grateful. With my community is very important for me.
So when, and says you are with your own brand?
With my own brand.
Yes. Yeah. When you get there, are you gonna?
I mean, we joke about this day today that we're gonna be in such a big competition, both him and I. But no, I don't know yet. I mean, I haven't thought of having my own brand. I think that I belong in working within a team or a community, and maybe in the future I would like to work with some of my Berlin friends. We have big projects in the future. We want to be an agency as well as the language for talents. So we might build a small empire, I guess, mm-hmm. with a lot of artists that have to be covered, because I feel like art is not covered enough.
So would it be cool to have German abroad?
German abroad, Berlin abroad. I haven't thought about it yet, but it's something that we are thinking a lot about, yeah. But yeah, that's my plans, I guess.
So, finishing off, where can we find more about you and your brand? Okay, where can people come and buy your bits?
All right, so you can find us on social media, frenchabroad.paris. Also, you can come to our shop in Montmartre, 19 rue André Delsarte, in Montmartre, near to the Sacré-Cœur.
Say it more slowly. Precise.
19 rue André Delsarte.
In English now.
19 is 19?
Yeah.
19, yes.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm picked it up.
19th Street, André Delsarte.
Exactly.
And also on our website, frenchabroad.com. Frenchabroadparis.com, sorry.
And follow our journey on Instagram and TikTok. Is as well called French Abroad Paris. My French was about to come.
Yeah, I know.
French Abroad Paris.
So if someone, that's a good point, if someone says, oh, what's your brand called, how would you say it?
My brand code?
The name of the brand.
Oh, it's French Abroad.
With an English accent.
French Abroad Paris.
But you did say it with an English accent.
Yeah,
French Abroad.
French Abroad.
So isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Not what?
Yeah, because he had some time to train himself to like get rid of the French accent. Or because he listens when we say it and he tries to replicate it.
Brainwashed.
Exactly.
Fabulous. So anything else you want to add, or you happy with? Again, I'll edit this section out. Although I might not. Because
it was a pleasure. I mean, to have you come in.
Yes, definitely. I really wanted to make this interview. When you asked me that, I was very excited because I like the fact that people are interested about my brand and about me. So I really like it, and I feel like I'm doing the things right because people can be part of my brand, part of my values, and they share it with me, and I really appreciate that. So thank you again.
Well, thanks for having me. Again, I'm a nobody, and I've asked and you've said yes. So for me, that reinforces your values as a great person.
Thank you.
And thank you for your time as well. I know you were busy cleaning the mirror.
No, thank you so much. I mean, I really enjoy my time here, and it is equally a pleasure to having people, to meet people, and it was an amazing podcast and very interesting questions. Some of them get to really reflect on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you. That means quite a lot. Okay. Well, I'm going to stop now, but I do need to take some photos.
Coffee Park Conversations.
And I did take those photos, which are going to be on some website somewhere. But what I would like to do now is just take this time to thank Christian and Anastasia for their time. They made me feel exceptionally at ease. I was made to feel more than welcome. They bought me coffee, so who could ask for anything more? I did treat myself to a French Abroad Paris hoodie, which is on my Instagram photo. I wore it Christmas Day. It was divine to wear. Honestly, it's the fabrics, the ethos, the brand, the company, the people behind it. Seriously, they are such good, nice, honest people. If only the big people were like that. But if the big people were like that, we wouldn't appreciate the smaller people. So honestly, I cannot thank French Abroad enough for being so hospitable, so down to earth, and so humble about it. There was conversations that took place behind the microphone, or once the microphone was off, before it was on. Honestly, I can't sing their praises enough. Right from the get-go, there was conversations on Instagram, and you're talking to a business owner here, and he is much more than that. He really, really is. Anyway, so thank you to Christian Anastasia, who will be leaving shortly. Unfortunately, her internship has finished. But one thing that I do need to mention is back in November when I did this, they had a little pop-up shop, as could be heard, just to the right of Sacré-Cœur. Now, I believe two doors down, they've just opened up another pop-up shop. I'm recording this, I'll be honest with you, I'm recording this on the 8th of February, which is a Thursday. They opened it up at the beginning of the week. I mean, how good timing is this? So please, if you do get to hear this and you are in Paris, visit number 17 Rue André Del Sartre, up in Montmartre on the 18th arrondissement. It's at 17 Rue André Del Sartre, up in Montmartre. There are three different metro stops that you can take. The first is Anvers, which is on the blue line, number 2. Depending on which way you're travelling as to, you know, which direction you need to take. But you get off at Anvers and you can either take up the funiculaire up the steep slope. I've done that a couple of times, that's quite pleasant. But you don't have to, you can just walk straight upstairs and turn right. The other option is Abbesses, it's in English. Again, that's on the green line, which is line number 12. Generally, you're going to be Marais d'Aubervilliers, which is heading up north. But it depends, because if you're staying in somewhere like M.S.S.R., then you're going to be heading down. Don't worry about that. The other option is on the purpley magenta line, or magenta, that's a throwback, line 4. If you're pretty much anywhere in Paris heading up north, it's going to be line 4 on Porte Clignancourt, getting off at Chateau Rouge. Or if you want to walk, go to Bar Brochechouart, beautiful name. I have walked from Gare du Nord, a little bit of a walk, but you know, it's Paris. If you can't walk in Paris, then well, walk somewhere else. But that's they're your best bets to get to the shop in Rue André Del Sartre, up in the 18th in Montmartre. Now, just to pick up on a few parts, because again, it's organic. This is not live, but it's live podcast. So I asked on episode 1.1 on eating in Paris with Nev, where is your favourite place to eat in Paris? And I have had Charlie Jane 001 say that any cafe in Place du Tertre up in Montmartre. So that ties up quite nicely with this episode, also being based up in Montmartre. So take your pick. There's plenty of them up there. I've not actually eaten up there. I walked down a little bit, which I believe we did mention in the episode, just before going to the Moulin Rouge, which if you have a look at episode 1.2, Alido de Paris, on Spotify. You'll also see I did ask a question, which shows, cabarets or events have you been to in Paris? Nev did mention Moulin Rouge, but also, as did Ricardo Michelena Blasco. Now, apologies for the pronunciation, but I have seen both Moulin Rouge and Alido, so that's quite exciting. So thank you to Ricardo for commenting on that. Also, don't be shy, feel free to comment and answer any questions or polls that are put out there. Leave a review, I don't mind. You can still email me, coffeepot@anenglishmaninparis.blog. Follow me on Instagram, which is @anenglishmaninparisblog. And finally, I'd just like to say a big thank you to recently Netherlands, but more importantly, Bulgaria. I don't know what's taking place in Bulgaria in terms of listenership, but oh my days, you've kept me in the charts on Apple Podcasts for quite a while. So huge thanks to you guys. Please drop me a line. Let me know who you are, what's going on, what you want to hear more about from Paris, or maybe from London. Choice is yours. So it's now time for me to thank French Abroad, who you can find at FrenchAbroadParis.com or on Instagram at FrenchAbroad.Paris. Pop in, say hello to them. Pop online, say hello to them. Let them know you heard them from me, just because it's nice. And if you already knew them, then just say hello to them anyway and let them know that you're around. It's now time for a jingle.
Coming up on Coffee Pot Conversations.
We've still got some more interviews planned and lined up that have already been recorded, so we know they're going ahead. It's, don't forget, every second and fourth Tuesday of the month from January to May and then July through to November. I also do have a few monologulous, just me talking episodes coming up. I'm trying to work out the best way for that, so please be patient. Please be patient. I am learning. But what's going to stop me for a little while is the fact that I record and utilise, as you know, Spotify for podcasters. But that's now changed again. It's going to be moving on to an online program called Riverside.fm. I briefly used them once before. For me, it wasn't a great user interface, not as easy as Spotify for podcasters or whatever it is, or whatever it was. Originally, it was called Anchor, which was great. But I'm going to still try and do the best I can to keep things flowing in the best way that they can. So fingers crossed it all works out. Stick with me. We're coming up for almost nearly halfway, which is nice. But we do still have those interviews. We still do have me talking into a microphone. And then the final episode for season 1.10 will be the best bits. If at this stage you've been listening and you've got any of your favourite bits, please do let me know. Email me coffeepot@anenglishmaninparis.blog. Put best bits. I'll know what to look out for then. And that's it. So thank you very much. And I shall see you in 2 weeks for the next episode of
Coffee Pot Conversations.